minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And wow, what an interesting weekend. Oh boy, it was tough. I went 1-2 in my picks, which I know is not the biggest thing in the world, everybody. The fact that the local teams we chat about here went 0-3 and in a bad way is scary times. Denver losing 23-7. The Buffs absolutely getting destroyed. The Bears absolutely getting destroyed. The Buffs were so upset that Carl Durrell, like, nice guy, Carl Durrell, even keel, calm guy, no pressure, steady hand, knocks down a cameraman. Did you see that? I mean, if you just look at it, just shoving the camera out of his face, but did kind of seem like the cameraman was kneeling down, right, because of the angle. And, you know, you start to look at it and say, he pushes him down, it could hit him in the face, the camera could break, whatever, pop him in the eye. It's a little bit more severe than he just bumped a camera out of the way. So he had an apology later. I'll read that in a moment. But it was weird that Rick George came out first and did the apology. And then, like, the next day, you got Carl Durrell's apology. So we're gonna chat about that. It was a rough weekend, specifically for the Denver Broncos. There was this moment, though, when the Broncos were up 7-0. We were all feeling pretty good.
Bridgewater end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Noah Fant.
And that was it. Oh, 23-7. I picked Denver to lose this game. The reason, mainly. Now, I picked him to lose this game at the beginning of the season, but things change as we make our picks. I looked at the injuries, and I just said, Dalton Reisner's out. Graham Glasgow's out. Defensively, you're depleted. Why KJ Hamler being out, you don't have anybody to take the top off of that defense. Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton might be the same guy. Like, they play the same. Big-bodied receivers. You don't have that shifty, speedy wide receiver that you hoped you had in Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler. So I guess I just looked at it and I said, man, I think Baltimore's a good team. I actually am, you know, a member of the Lamar Jackson fan club. I think that guy is the most electrifying man in sports. And I just looked at all of those things and I said, I don't know that Denver could beat Baltimore on a good day of injuries, of no injuries, rather. I damn sure don't think that they're going to win this depleted. Denver defense, though, I will say this. Walking away, injuries be damned, I still think this defense is an elite defense. I think they're going to get better if they can get healthy. Good news about Patrick Surtain. He seems to be okay at this point. According to Tom Pelissero, it is expected that he'll be okay after leaving Sunday's game with a chest injury. So that's good news. He had a rough game, though. He had a rough game. And those of you that say Lamar Jackson, you know, he's just a running back that can throw. He threw for 316 yards and a touchdown. He had a passer rating of 96. So he stayed in the pocket. He only ran for 28 yards. He stayed in the pocket. He was very content to do so and kind of just picked Denver's defense, which, again, it was kind of this. The second quarter was rough. You know, you get those touchdowns, but then you get those two touchdowns. Then I think Denver really buckled down, but there was like a span there where Baltimore scored like two touchdowns relatively quickly. Other than that little span where it felt like Denver's defense just really was outmatched, I thought the defense held up, which is a good sign for the future. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. After losing probably their, you know, first real test of the season, are they a playoff team? Go vote at theholeshow.com. It's amazing what a difference a week makes. We were having this discussion about CSU, CU, and UNC a couple weeks ago about all the changes. And one week it's really optimistic. One week it's really negative. One week it's really optimistic. Well, Denver was 3-0, but we weren't as optimistic, you know, as a lot of teams are, or as a lot of fan bases are at 3-0, because simply you looked at the teams. Although the Jets beat the Titans yesterday. The Giants got to win. So the teams that they beat, hey, this makes Denver look a little bit better because those teams aren't the absolute worst. They're in that mix. But the Jets beat a Titans team that think a lot of people picked maybe to go fairly deep this season. So what do you think, Hulligans? After failing the first test, the first real test of the season, are the Broncos a playoff team? 66% of the Hulligans saying no. You may have said no anyway. You may have already had that inkling. And this just further cements that. I think Baltimore, with Lamar Jackson, healthy Lamar Jackson, if they had a better running core, which maybe Le'Veon Bell works out, maybe not. Maybe they're able to piece these veterans together with all the injuries they had early. Maybe they're able to get Latavius Murray, Le'Veon Bell, and Devontae Freeman to work. These guys were all Pro Bowlers at one point. Now they're on the same team. But if they can get that to work, then look out. The Ravens are 3-1. That one loss coming to the Raiders. Raiders, Chargers tonight, Monday Night Football here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. That'll be fun. Colfax, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, you know what? All the hoopla around football's happening. Did you know? Did you know that the Nuggets have a preseason game tonight?
Running the break, we're as fast as the wind.
We just like that, we're right back into it, folks.
Yeah.
Love that song.
Ooh, we're gonna go with the Nuggets.
Hit that shot. All right, preseason. It is what it is. I don't really get that excited about the preseason, but that means that we're a couple of weeks away from the regular season. So that's good. That was the good that I took out of this. The bad. Well, we don't have a clip for this because you can't really hear it, but it's the Carl Durrell running into the cameraman at the end of the game and just popping him real quick, little stiff arm he delivers there. And to me, the bad part of that, the first bad part of it, was Rick George makes the apology, like on Twitter, and then puts out an official release. And then Carl Durrell comes out and makes his apology on Sunday morning. He issued the following statement and an apology for the incident with a local photographer at the end of CU's 37-14 loss to Southern California. He said, "I want to apologize for the incident at the end of our game Saturday. We do value the media and coverage they provide for our program, which I actually do believe. And this was strictly in the heat of the moment. That's not who I am, and I hope people who have known me through the years do realize that. I did reach out and spoke directly this morning to the videographer from CBS4 and personally apologized to him." I don't know if the videographer's happy about it still or whatever, but I've dealt with Carl Durrell 5 or 6 times on the phone, once in person. And everything you hear about him is he's like a really good guy. So I know a lot of people are roasting him for that. Not right. It's not fair. Should there be some kind of weird punishment? Sure. Maybe pays a fine, pays for the camera if there's any damage. I don't know. But I'm willing to kind of overlook that one. You know, he had a bad weekend. But as far as head college football coaches that had head football coaches that had a bad weekend, Urban Meyer probably had a worse weekend. Okay, let's get to the ugly and then the really ugly. All teams, Denver, CU, UNC, 0-3 over the weekend. And Drew Locke got in.
3rd and 4, Locke taking a deep shot. Sutton wasn't even looking for it.
No, that was like, hey, I don't know where you are, man. Woo! And Sutton didn't look like he was on the right page with Drew Locke. I know everybody's roasting Drew Locke, and I got some stuff I want to say about that side of it, too. How about the really ugly thing, though, over the weekend? And this is just, if, you know, I'm a family man, love my wife, love my kids, love all that stuff. When you see stuff like this from guys that pronounce that they're family men, good men of faith, whatever, they're not with their team after going 0-4. They split. Urban Meyer was caught on video getting some kind of woman grinding up on him, and he wasn't pushing her away, and it went viral. Urban Meyer did make an apology. Here it is.
Yeah, I just apologized to the team and staff and for being a distraction. Just stupid. And so I explained everything that happened and owned it, and, you know, just stupid. Should not have myself in that kind of position.
Yeah. He went on to talk about the fact that he apologized to his family, who was very upset. Well, the reason he did not go home with the team was he claimed that he was going to see his grandchildren, and probably did, but then decided to go out and get a little crazy, I guess. Bad look. Really, really bad look. Now, 0-4 is a bad look, going out and partying. Even if the girl, even if it was just him at a bar getting trashed, like at a, like sitting at a bar by yourself listening to old country tunes, people would sympathize. They'd be like, oh, poor Urban Meyer. He's thinking about everything he's got to do to get this right. And he's going to slam down that last glass and he's going to go, I'm going to fix this thing in Jacksonville. Nah, that would have been acceptable. Instead, it's some girl that's half his age grinding up on him. His hand was in a weird spot. I'm not going to elaborate. It was a strange video. It was disgusting. It's not a good look for Jacksonville. 16 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Teddy Bridgewater. Scary times for him. Scary times for the Broncos. Drew Locke comes in at the second half and looks awful. Let's discuss it. Some of you are saying, well, the decision was clear. All right. I get you. But I got bad news beyond this week, beyond next week. We'll talk about it next.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
21 minutes after the hour, our On the Rocks Liquor Game Beer of the Week. This one's from Left Hand Brewing in Longmont, Death Before Taxes Porter. Pick up selections from Left Hand or any of their of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight. On the Rocks Liquor. Always great place to go. But now they're opening up their tastings again this Friday from 4 to 6 for free tastings. Our friends from the Shine Shop will be over there. Love the Shine Shop. So great local collaboration there from On the Rocks Liquor and the Shine Shop. That's On the Rocks. They're located right off of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue, kind of near Buffalo Wild Wings. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Let's read a couple of texts. Noob says, hey, it stinks that Denver lost, but on the positive side, CU still sucks. CU is really bad. Yeah, really bad. I don't know with the UNC Bears if that's the case just yet. I just think Montana State's a great team. Eastern Washington is a great team that they will face this Saturday. Bottom line is with UNC, new coach, new system, new everything. They get that pass, right? They kind of get that. They've already won two games. Carl Durrell was the Pac-12 Coach of the Year. It's kind of like the old John Elway argument. You're so good, you set unrealistic expectations, and maybe Carl Durrell for 1 year set unrealistic expectations in year two. That offense is bad, though. It'd be one thing if they were losing. They cannot produce anything offensively. Bama Bear. Bears looked unprepared from the first drive. Need to bounce back for homecoming this weekend. Offense is an issue for UNC as well. I think they're 11th in the Big Sky Conference in production. Eastside Chris. Brady, I asked you last week. Broncos had appetizer, soup, and salad. Will they have room for... Oh, you asked. Okay. It's like that mob. Do they have room for the main entree? They had to ask for a take-home box. I had them 27-21 on your show. Yeah. Yeah, you should have listened to me on that one. At least that one. Ignore the rest of what I said. Bad day today. I took down the Rockies flag. Worse than that, new GM still a pawn. Yeah, the Rockies did not do much of an outside hire. They're sticking with Bill Schmidt. They're just going to stay... within the organization. So we'll get into more of that throughout the week this week. But shocker, I thought that they needed to go outside. Like it or not, this team needed to do something different, get an outside look and an outside perspective. But that's not the case. They're sticking with Bill Schmidt. Let's keep reading some texts. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Dixon saying, let's see, Brady, I could be wrong, but I believe Meyer was at his own restaurant bar in Ohio. Yeah, Urban Meyer's Pint House, is that what it is? Yeah, you're right. He had taken his family grandkids there. He stayed, and it got a little crazy. People wanting him to dance and stuff, but I don't think he was out bar hopping. Now, should he have been allowing a young girl to grind on him? That's another discussion. What's the difference? Bar hopping or hopping at your own bar? I mean, you know, dude, it doesn't matter. It's your own bar. Yeah, but I did it in my place, so it doesn't count. No, it still counts. Still a bad look. Still a bad look. You know, he could have pushed her away. He could have stood up and walked away. There's a lot of things he could have done. I knew that he went there and his grandkids and his family were there at first and then they left and he stayed and it got a little crazy. Sure, is there a big difference between bar hopping and doing the same things that you would be doing at a bar hop as opposed to your own restaurant? To me, no. The look is the look. Doesn't matter if it was at Urban Meyer's Pint House or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure Station House. Doesn't matter. Just, I don't know where that came from. Just off the top of the head. Bad look. You're 0-4. You didn't go home with the team. You didn't stay with the team. All you hear is these head coaches are in their books constantly, you know, studying, trying to figure stuff out. Like I said, I don't mind if there's a paparazzi gets a picture of a head coach having a beer, having a whiskey, talking, sitting alone even. It's just not a good look. I don't care. Is it career ending? No. Is it marriage ending and all that stuff? That's not for me. That's none of my business. But it's a bad look when you're a head coach of an NFL team and you're 0-4 and you are this married man with children and grandchildren and there's a girl half your age grinding up on you that, I'm sorry, but if you saw the video, he didn't seem to mind too much. In fact, it seemed like he was rather cool with everything. So they had a Thursday night game and some extra days off. Oh, yeah, that's what I want from my head coach. You know what, Dixon, why don't you stick with your guy, Andy Reid? That's who you want. You got the guy. What are you doing sticking up for Urban Meyer? I mean, get out of here, Dixon. You got the guy that taught everybody how to coach. He's dedicated. He's always about his craft. And yet you're sticking up for this guy? That's a bogus take. That's just weird. Noob. Air Force One. There you go, Noob. Air Force got the dub. Noob says, just before the rumor gets started, Urban Meyer was not at the Den. Okay, he was at his own place. Not at the Den. That's 90% of the hooligans were there on Friday night. Every football team in the state should start their press conferences this week with no offense, but... Yeah, dude, that's a Top Text Tuesday text. That's not a Top Text Monday text. That's a great text, though. Yeah, we're not getting a lot of offense here. Spawn of Dixon, if he's 4-0 instead of 0-4, then it's okay. Personally, no. Football-wise, yes. If he's 4-0, hey... That's fine, because you're doing something right. But personally, if you're, you know, if you're looking at him as a role model for your family or whatever, no, either way. But if he's 4-0 and they catch him out partying and doing stuff, that would absolutely be the response. But if you're 0-4, what are you doing here? What are you doing out this late? Why are you studying? Why aren't you home watching film? That's what we hear coaches do all the time. Is watching film. Yeah, personally, still not okay. Like, I look at that and I go, yeah, that sucks to be him. His whole family's probably going to be pretty pissed, and hopefully they can all figure some stuff out. I have no idea what goes into that. That's not what we're here to talk about. But football-wise, yeah. If I'm playing for him and he ever busts my butt because I'm out late, guess what I get to do? I'm a grown man just like you. You had no problem out and about doing stupid things. Dixon just says, wow. Am I wrong on that? If he's 4-0, is it more acceptable? On the football side of it. Not as a... Okay, personally, no. Right? Not for me.
Right.
Like, if I'm Urban Meyer, it's not acceptable whether I'm 18-0 and I just won the Super Bowl. It's not acceptable. That's not me. It's not who I am. But from the football perspective, what's the first thing everybody's tweeting? Go look at the Twitters, man. Go look at them. It's like, oh man, nobody takes an 0-4 start as well as Urban Meyer. That's what he's getting roasted for. Pillow fight down. We got to take a break. Maybe Urban saw the girl. Oh man, can I even read this? Maybe. Maybe Irvin saw the girl in one of the films he watched and wanted to see the live show. Yeah, see, and that's this kind of stuff that you're opening up. You're opening yourself up to. It's not for me to judge. As a football coach, I can judge it. As a man, that's your own thing, man. It's not my cup of tea. It's not where I'd be. Agreed that having a girl grinding on you is not cool, but players do this crap all the time. Vaughn Halloween party. Vaughn ain't the head coach, bro. 30 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We got the quarterback room coming up next with Dylan McCaffrey, presented by First Advantage. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-five minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back to the Hull Show powered by PDC Energy. Now's the time we step aside and make some room for the quarterback room with UNC Bears quarterback Dylan McCaffrey. Dylan, my friend, rough weekend for you guys. How you guys holding up after that? I know you're regrouping, trying to put the pieces back together.
Yeah, no doubt. That's the biggest thing is regrouping, learning from this. Sometimes you can... most time you can learn a lot more from an event like this weekend than you can when things are going well. So that's the goal moving forward today and tomorrow and the rest of the week. And, just get better from it. Thankfully, we came out pretty healthy overall, which is a good sign. So,
well, and you guys, it was just one of those games where Montana State, that first quarter, they just had everything going offensively, defensively. And then it just kind of seemed like, Dylan, and correct me if I'm wrong, man, but from that point on, you guys were really pressed and really forced and trying to get something going, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, no doubt. And we kept trying to tell ourselves, hey, just play football, play the game, try to run the offense. But, I mean, that's a hard thing to do as a player when you see, oh, shoot, we got to hurry up and So, yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd say we were pretty pressed there from the jump.
Talking to Dylan McCaffrey after the Bears lost a tough one to Montana State, a really good Big Sky Conference football team, as good as advertised for sure. We've talked about the Big Sky, this conference being pretty ridiculous when it comes to all things FCS. Ultimately, score 40-7. There was an interesting moment, Dylan, before the half. You know, you guys had the ball back. I believe it was 20-7. You're in a good position where maybe you're going to go down and make this thing really, really interesting. And Montana State comes up with the play. And then they get that score. Did it feel like at that point the wind was just kind of taken out of your sails at that stage, or what was that like?
It definitely was a big blow. I quit it too. You know, just a good body shot in a fight that, you know, really kind of hurts. But I think our team was pretty mentally strong all around, and I know that one was definitely on me at the end there that half. And you know, we just turn around and halftime, you take a deep breath and say, all right, keep fighting. And I think we did that, which was good to see.
How do you deal with that, too, personally, man? Because, I mean, you've had your share of amazing football games and then just games where, you know, maybe you're just off by just a little bit. And you just said it, that throw was kind of that was a tough one. It's one I know you wish you had back, but you're making those throws 90% of the time. What's that like for you personally, just kind of going back saying, all right, I know I can make those plays. You've done it a million times.
Yeah, it's kind of just realizing that fact, obviously, and hitting the drawing board. And that was another one where I felt, you know, not every game you have to make that play. I kind of tossed one up there at the end of the half that was like, okay, we're pressed, and this could be a huge one. However, you know, there was a lot of room, still a lot of time, and we have a great great place kicker at the end of the half where you got to take some points. But so yeah, it's just coming back and realizing being situationally smarter on my end, and something we're going to do this week.
What was the post game kind of like for you guys after the fact? I was reading some of coaches' comments. I was listening to the post game coverage on KFKA as well. And you know, it is kind of what it is. We look at it and say this is a brand new era for the UNC Bears, and just trying to kind of get all these pieces together. That's kind of what I was taking from coach, was hey, didn't click. We just didn't click this week, but we sure as heck hope we know we can get it right back on track next week.
Yeah, no doubt. That's definitely a big thing. I think part of that is when you're playing a really good team like that, you get exposed in some of the areas where, hey, we need to improve some of these things. Some of those little mistakes that don't quite hurt as much in the weeks previous will definitely come to bite you in those, and I think a lot of that happened. But we showed a lot of good things, too, and that stuff that we'll probably expand more on, you know, and maybe eliminate some of those other areas where we weren't clicking. So.
Dylan, what was that defense showing you primarily, you and your offense, of course, that was really just kind of puzzling you guys there for a while? What were you seeing?
Yeah, they had a couple really really unique blitzes in the beginning of the game that I got to be smarter and kind of pick up on. And, you know, they were just as talented. They really impressed me with how fast they flowed to the ball, how fast they moved in general. And that's something we've been trying to emulate on offense, is just attacking the ball, playing fast, and that's a team that did. And you know that they definitely pride themselves in that, and I can see why.
It's the quarterback room with Dylan McCaffrey, UNC Bears quarterback. Rough one for the Bears over the weekend. They're looking to turn the page. Well, against an Eastern Washington team, Dylan, that kind of got a lot of national praise over the weekend, getting on ESPN late night, all that, the red field, all that stuff, man. Which, you know what, that's a damn good football team, but it's also really good for this conference, too.
Yeah, no doubt. It's definitely good for this conference. I know that was a battle they had this week. Yeah. Jeff watched that one after ours. I mean, Montana's another hell of a football team that is a Big Sky opponent that we'll play later in the year. But it's right now we're just on Eastern Washington. Like you said, they're a great team. It's good for the conference, and it can be a really good showing for us, man. It'll be a good test. It's kind of nice going from one really good team to another really good team that, hey, we got to fix these mistakes fast, and if we don't, they're going to bite us again.
They have one heck of an offense. Defense, you know, depending on the stat you're looking at, but that offense can flat out move the ball. They got a solid rushing attack, solid quarterback. How important is it for you, I mean, talking to our listeners right now, for the fans to really show up in a big way this coming Saturday?
It's definitely big. I mean, crowds can really affect offenses. They don't do as much for a team's defense, which is known, you know. That's why I mean, when we're on offense, crowds are usually quiet, and we want that, though, because we need to communicate. But it gets hard, man, and that's something I think this past week, and the crowd there was loud, man, and that got in our heads a little bit. It made it harder to make calls, kind of made it harder to identify some of those funky things that they were doing in the beginning. And that's something, I mean, when we're on our home turf, we expect and would really benefit us. When they're on offense, just getting loud and making it hard for them to communicate, hard to hear.
Dylan McCaffrey joining us as a part of the UNC Bears quarterback room presented by First Advantage. And what have you seen so far? And again, I know it's Monday. That's why it's always interesting to catch you on Monday, because we kind of got that cross, right? We're looking at the past weekend, but we're also busting into a little bit of a preview on Eastern Washington. What sticks out about this 5-0 team so far to you, Dylan?
No doubt. A couple things stick out. I definitely look more at opponents' defenses than their offense. I know they have a pretty talented offense, and our defense will have a good plan for that. But defensively, man, that's another team that I watched this past weekend against Montana. They played fast and they played confident. You know, they didn't really have too many MAs or anything where they were, you know, blowing coverages, which is, when you got a powerful offense, that's really what you got to do. You know, you got to make it at least hard on the opposing team, and I think they do a good job of that. And they do a good job of flying the ball and moving fast, so that's something that again, we saw last weekend, and it'll be good to see again, you know, to really correct our mistakes.
Did you see, and again, your film breakdown thus far, did you kind of see Eastern Washington doing a little bit of what Montana State was doing, as far as, you know, a lot of interesting blitzes, a lot of interesting ways to try to confuse the offense, to confuse your play calling at that point? What have you seen thus far on that side of it out of the Eagles?
Yeah, they definitely did a little bit of that this past weekend. I know Montana's kind of a run-first team, so they were they were up, put a lot of guys in the box, and kind of man around that. But we'll see coming to us. I know we've ran the ball effectively in weeks past, so I imagine we'll have something similar. And, you know, so it's going to come down to I think a lot of this game will come down to winning one-on-one matchups all around, you know, at the front seven, out wide, or receivers, running backs, making guys miss when they're one-on-one with the guys. So I think a lot of this game will come down to that.
What steps do you guys take? You know, you look at it and you're saying, hey, we want to get our offense to what we know we can be. We know we can be this explosive offense. Now, obviously, there's out on the field, there's the work that you guys are putting in. But what other steps are you guys putting in, you and your teammates, your offensive line, your receivers, your running backs, kind of taking and talking about as far as, hey, we know we can get there. We just got to find one of those breakout games.
Yeah, no doubt. I think a lot of that just comes with being more familiar with the offense. And we've been really pressing hard on that. I know we have a pretty complicated one, but I think it can be – and that's a really good thing once everyone fully understands it. So we're having a lot of meetings with – I mean, all of us just in general of – like you said, we're putting the work on the field. There's no doubt about that, man. This is a hard-working team, and I get inspired by even seeing guys on our team work and – but I think a lot of that comes in the classroom now, and that's kind of the next step. We know we can play in the field. It's just really learning everything, learning exactly how you're supposed to run things. So,
well, my friend, we're excited to see what you guys can do against this Eastern Washington team. We're going to be building it up all week, try to get this crowd really pumped up. I know they're loving their Bears football so far. Rough weekend, but it's easy to turn the page sometimes if you can just get something going offensively, and we'll certainly be rooting for you guys, my friend.
No doubt. Yeah, thank you very much.
Dylan, we'll see you next week, all right?
All right, yep, have a good one.
All right, that's the Quarterback Corner presented by First Advantage and, of course, Windsor Mill Tavern. Dylan McCaffrey, the offense, rough go. He had three interceptions. He knows it. He knows he had a couple of really rough throws that he wished he could have back. That was the perfect storm for Montana State. So, rough outing for the UNC Bears. However, I think you said it at the beginning of the season, Colfax. You were like, hey, is it expected that they could win 2 to 3 to 4 games? Well, they got two wins so far. And I'm not saying that's it. I'm not saying that that's what you should be happy with. But this new page that we're turning for UNC, with Ed McCaffrey, and here we are with Dylan McCaffrey, and there's a bunch of new faces on the squad. I'm not trying to make an excuse, but is this is kind of more what you expect in that first year, which is why we go back to the Buffs and look at Carl Durrell last year, and you go, yeah, he set this bar way up here. This is typically what you see in a coach's first year, especially coming off of what they've came off of. There's not a rich history for the UNC Bears. So two wins thus far. They're sitting at 2-3, 1-1 in conference play. Still very much in this thing. But Eastern Washington is a tough one. Also, Windsor Mill Tavern being a huge sponsor, man. I love their bison burgers over there. Fantastic, delicious meal. Thanks to Windsor Mill Tavern for putting these on each and every week. It's a perspective that we can get like no other from the quarterback side of. Let's read a couple of tech. You guys just are wanting to stay on this thing. Yeah. Okay. Do we want to read all this right now? Do we have time? We have time. Dixon says, a head coach relaxing and having a good time should be fine no matter what his record is. Having a girl grinding on you is another issue in a separate discussion. What does your record have to do with being able to go out and have a few drinks at your restaurant and relax a little on a week where you have some extra days off? Boy, I don't know. I guess... is there a difference between sitting at a bar relaxing as opposed to what is on the video that we saw? Is there a difference? Yeah. You're saying it's a separate discussion. That is the discussion, man. That's the video that we have in front of us. Was a girl grinding up on him not doing anything to push her away. He's out. His team's completely defeated. And oh, by the way, he's a first-year coach with this team. I mean, it's not like he's been there forever. This isn't Bruce Arians out and about doing crazy things. This isn't Bill Belichick. This is Urban Meyer, who's already getting a ton of criticism. Texter here, just think we got to be careful about judging what people should or shouldn't be doing on their days off. Says the guy that ripped Von Miller's Halloween party. What are we talking? Hypocritical much? You ripped a guy's Halloween party that he lined up drivers for, Uber drivers for, and all that stuff, and yet we're judging, we're saying don't judge Urban Meyer, but you can judge the Denver Broncos players for putting on a Halloween party a few years ago? Yeah, I think that that's part of that comes with the territory. When you are a head football coach, when you are an NFL football player, things that you do outside and off the field matter. And if you think that they don't, you're watching the wrong game. 48 minutes after the hour. Take a short break. Don't forget, at 1 o'clock, we've got something new for you. We've got Crazy Carl's, of course, presenting this. Scott Patchen is going to be joining us at 1 o'clock, talking to him all things Colorado State Rams. They had the bye week. I mean, we're going to talk about this huge, huge game coming up against San Jose State for homecoming weekend. It's going to be great. So we'll talk to Scott coming up at 1 o'clock. You do not want to miss that. We'll take a short break. Let me catch my breath. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, I guess we're staying on this topic a little longer than we thought we would, but here we are. Welcome back to the whole show. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I like this one from Pillow Fight Dan. This is where you guys want to know. You're summing it up for me. Thank you, Pillow Fight Dan. If you're in a leadership position and you do anything deemed unbecoming, there are consequences to be had. Doesn't matter if you're on the clock or not. Dixon has never been more wrong. Do you ever see Bill Belichick out doing this stuff? I mean, he was at his restaurant, sitting down at a bar. I understand that. The big difference is there's a girl grinding up on you, and you're, quote-unquote, a family man. So you have football players that follow you as a leader. Is that the best leadership? Is that the best example of leadership that you put on? Dixon says, if he's single, is it okay? I just don't think being seen out partying, whether you're sitting down or dancing, you can party without dancing. Just ask me, Colfax. I don't dance. If you're seen out doing those things, you are the leader of the football team. The football, for all fans want to know that you're gloom and doom, man, that you're sad and depressed and you're game scheming. Now, if you're seen at a restaurant with your family, yeah, it's totally fine. But the single thing, that's one side of it. Like I said, I'm trying not to get too deep in the weeds onto that one because some people are whatever. Yeah, there you go. Texter, if the problem is because he's married, that's fine. But if he was single, wouldn't even be a story. It would be a story. You're 0-4. You're seen in a nightclub. Or you're seen in your own. Okay, you're seen in your own establishment. I get that. I don't think it makes that much of a difference. A girl half your age is grinding up on you, and that's partying, right? Am I wrong on that? Can we at least agree that you would look at that video, and if I were to show you this and say, is he partying? The answer would probably be yes, he's out partying. How many times do you see a basketball players after they lost in the postseason in NBA and playoff games and they were out partying? It was such a bad look, right? They were young and single, and we were like, clearly he doesn't give a crap that his team just went down 0-2 in the playoffs. We give players a hard time for it. Dixon, you yourself gave Von Miller a hard time for having a Halloween party. And you're not going to give, you're going to give Urban Meyer the pass? Hey, maybe Urban was on a recruiting trip for cheerleaders. Damn you, noob. Wow. All right. Yikes. Okay. Yeah, we're getting it coming in here. It's just great. Great text. Great stuff. Wow. All right. We're done with that one. We're done with that story, at least for the day. Yeah, you're right. This whole thing will probably blow over. It'll always be a gif. It'll always be a joke. But to say that this is nothing from a leadership standpoint, that's interesting to me. B-Rad says, didn't see the video. Was she cute? Dude, it's all over Twitter. Facebook's down, Twitter's not. Second hour coming up, we got Scott Patchen, star defensive lineman for the Colorado State Rams, coming up next.